Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. 183, I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. A little lonely here with just two of us after having Lou last week, but I think we'll muddle along, don't you?
Yeah, that was nice having Lou at the pub, and now we move forward on to other things. But, yeah, just the two of us.
How come you put the old chairs back in here and you took away all the food? Where's all the free food?
Yeah, that's only for VIPs, right? Not for us.
Oh, okay. Just checking, buddy.
All right.
So you ready to do a little news?
Yeah, there's a few things going on down in Disney World that we're going to discuss. But first and foremost, at Disney, they're going to be testing allocated seating for Fantasmic at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I guess with everything they're taking away, they figure they ought to try to give us something. But let's see. During the first test period, no advanced FastPass Plus reservations will be available, and instead guests will be invited to visit a FastPass kiosk in the park on the day of the show. Then they'll either assign you a specific seat, row, or section, depending on the day of the test. The testing is allegedly supposed to be happening between July 21st and 23rd, 24th, and then 27th and 28th. So it just sounds like they're going to try a bunch of different modes, or if you will, and see what works and what doesn't work, and then maybe they'll put this in as a full-time thing. What are your thoughts on that?
I really like it. It only fits with FastPass Plus. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm surprised it's taken this long for them to have advanced seating for the studios for Fantasmic. What about you?
Yeah, I think it is a good idea. You're right. With FastPass Plus, and, you know, pretty much you can schedule everything else to be able to schedule Fantasmic. At least you'll know what show you're going to on either night. And generally speaking, where you're going to be sitting. So it'll be interesting, and it doesn't really discuss it here, if, you know, that's going to be one of your choices, if it'll bump out, you know, Tower of Terror or something like that, or whether this will be, you know, like a third pick that you have. But no, I think it's all good.
The thing is with me is with my park being developed right now, this fits better for my park with Fantasmic going into it.
Right.
But you would think with what they did with Wishes and Illuminations, where you could do the FastPass Plus for them, I mean, with this being an amphitheater, I figured they would have did this first before the other two.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you remember better than I do. I mean, I don't remember the seats. They're just bench seats, right? Those aluminum benches. So I don't think there's a... yeah, I think the rows are marked, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, every row's marked. Yeah. They know what's going on in there. I mean, the point is, with it being a contained area, I think it would have been done before the other two, because basically, Wishes and Illuminations, you watch outside regardless. I mean, you don't have to have a seat for it. So I'm surprised it's taken this long for them to do this to begin with.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the other venues, although, you know, for Illuminations, like you mentioned, they have those dessert parties and stuff like that. But that's limited, and obviously it costs money, where this doesn't cost you anymore. It comes with your paid admission, basically.
Yeah, because they did the same thing here, because we've done the Brown Derby before and then got the seats to Fantasmic because we didn't want Mom waiting and stuff like that.
Yeah, we did that once or twice over the years, and, you know, I just thought it was all right. They, at least when we did it, they put you way over to the right if you were looking at the stage set, if you will. I didn't think the seats were particularly good. You're down close. I mean, there's really no bad seat there, but it wasn't, you know, dead in the middle or whatever. And I would have thought they would give you, you know, pretty much the best seats in the house with the dining package, but they didn't, at least when I went.
No, us neither. They were good seats. Yeah. Yeah, we've only I've seen Fantasmic a handful of times, because mm-hmm. it isn't worth. I mean, it, I'm not saying it isn't worth the wait, but it's like when I only get down there so long, I don't find myself, as we say, pulling up a stool there
right.
2 hours before the show to get a good seat. I mean, I have other things to do.
Well, that's just the thing, and that's what I was going to say. Generally speaking, you know, if when we go to the studios on our studios day, you know, if we're there after 2 p.m., that's a long day at the studios, you know, assuming we do rope drop. So either you got to kill the rest of the day or you go back to your resort for a nap and a swim and then come back at night. But generally, it's been an issue with us. It's just something we didn't want to hang around and wait for. I mean, I think the show is awesome. I love Fantasmic. And I've always said this. If they could helicopter me in and I could climb down a rope and into a seat right when the show started and then be picked up by that same rope and helicopter when it ended and get me the heck out of there, it'd be great. Because, as you know, that
it's
mass exodus, yeah, when that show is over, you know, if you're using the buses or whatever, I mean, you get basically 7,000 people all trying to leave at the same time. And, you know, depending on where you're staying or whatever, you know, you probably got an hour's journey ahead of you just to get back to your resort or whatever after the show ends. And if you go to the second show, which I believe starts at, what, 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that, you know, you're in for a long rest of your evening, you know, to see that. So you're right. It does take some dedication, I guess, to stay and see the show. And you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, like you, I've seen that probably the least of the nighttime spectaculars at all of the theme parks, only because of all the complications with getting in there, getting out of there. But again, it has, you know, it's still a great show.
It's beautiful. It's nice that it's going to be fast pass, because now I could do that. Because we're not ride. Me and you don't have to do the rides the way we used to.
Right.
So I'd be happy to use this, because especially if I could do Toy Story in this, I'm a happy man, because that's the only two things that there's studios I need to get fast pass for.
Right, right. Because, yeah, the rest of the stuff, like you said, you can pretty much walk on the great movie ride and all that stuff. So, so this is going to work to our advantage the way we tour at the studios. It'll be one less, you know, worry. You know you have a seat and a time and you're good to go.
Yeah, me and you don't do Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror every time, so, you know, this is right up the old man alley.
right, exactly.
I'll toast to this, then. What's next, my brother?
Yeah, just something that we knew was coming, or at least we speculated, but the Boathouse at Disney Springs is now going to offer pass holder discounts, and generally this happens when these new restaurants open. They typically don't get on board with all of the different programs, but given the fact that most of their competitors, the other restaurants at, you know, Disney Springs and elsewhere on property, do participate in the dining plan and DVC discounts and pass holder discounts, this isn't surprising. So that's good that you can get a few bucks off of a, you know, your $115 steak when you go there.
My point is, and this is just me being me,
mm-hmm.
I'm up on the box, there should not be allowed to be a restaurant that don't accept the pass holder discount.
Yeah, you're right. And
It should be uniform, period. That's it. All the rules should pertain to everything. I mean, it's too confusing at the parks as it is. For me and you, it's not bad because we live, breathe, eat, and sleep this stuff. But when you're booking trips and you're saying, well, because I'll have customers going down for 10 days, and a lot of times I'll tell them, if you're going next year, you should get the annual pass.
Right, right.
Because it'll save you money if you could afford it. And then you get these discounts and everything, and they're like, does it work for every restaurant? No, it don't. So then you start opening up, then they get doubt in their mind.
Right,
if
right.
that makes sense to you.
Oh,
they
yeah.
don't want to have confusion. They want it easy as possible.
Right.
So I think it should be, if you have an annual pass, you get the discount. If you get tables in Wonderland, it should be every restaurant.
Yeah, it is confusing for those that don't go there very often, or, you know, once every 5 years or whatever. You know, and I was just sitting here thinking while you were talking there, Doug, you know, some of it is that they're third-party restaurants. I mean, a lot of the restaurants
are. You're on property, deal with it.
Yeah.
These are the rules.
Exactly. But I mean, just think about it, too. I mean, it's the same thing with, now, what is it? I had an issue at Riverside. Was it free dining or whatever? But even some of the resorts, like at the beginning of the year when they announced the, is it the free dining? What am I thinking of? But I remember Riverside, or maybe it was Coronado Springs. I forget which one it was. But it was like it was uncertain if they were going to be participating in the dining.
Well, a lot of time Riverside, like this year, and I don't yell at me or quote me, but there was no availability for the free dining plan at Riverside.
Right.
Because that resort's so popular and so packed, it was Caribbean Beach, Coronado Springs, and I only think French Quarter was involved in it.
Right, right. Yeah.
So there's restrictions to everything, but I think if you have an annual pass, you should be able to get a discount at every restaurant.
Right.
It should be that simple.
Yeah. I mean, it takes all of the questions away, and you're right, Doug. I mean, they just write it into the contracts. If you're a third-party restaurant or whatever, these are the things you got to do, and, you know, it's very easily done, and they can always jack the price up $2-3 to cover it if they have to, and nobody would be the wiser. So, you know, they could make it a lot simpler for everyone, no doubt.
Well, you've had an annual pass now probably for, what, the past 20 years, it seems like?
Yeah, more often
long,
than
long
not.
Time.
Yeah.
Off and on, you've had it quite a bit, and you still get confused about some things.
Yeah.
And you're there all the time. Sometimes you'll go to a different restaurant and stuff, and you're not sure if it works or not. And that's craziness. It's one thing you shouldn't have to be worrying about after
right.
you dump down, especially for a family of four, like $3,000 on annual passes or $2,800, whatever it
yeah.
would be.
Yeah, and then there's even some, as you know, it's crazy. They don't accept it for lunch, but they accept it for dinner.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's just... I agree. I mean, at the end, I'm not going to use that saying.
Just go ahead.
Yeah,
no.
I don't want to get you aggravated. No. No, you're right, Doug. I mean, it just makes it a lot more confusing for the guests that are trying to figure all this stuff out. But, yeah, we'll see. Maybe they'll.
My new slogan is going to be at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, at the beginning. As you start your day. No, that's
yes.
all good. But, yeah, so that's good. The boathouse, you know, is getting on board with everyone else, so that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Can't wait to eat there.
No, me neither. Yeah, just this past week, all the buzz on Twitter, Facebook, and such, the full menus for the 2015 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival was released, and I've looked through that, and there's a lot of great stuff on there. Some of our old favorites from previous festivals, and there's a bunch of new stuff too. So I know we'll be doing a show at some point in the near future with our friend Bob Sikon from All in WDW, but so we won't go through any of the menus now, but we will in the near future.
Yeah, we love talking food.
Oh yeah, just looking at those pictures is making me hungry. But yeah, that's a good thing. And what are we here in mid-July, and we're already geeking out over food and wine, a fall festival. So enjoy your summer, because it's going to be gone soon.
Yeah, well, it's getting me. I can't. I want to go down there so bad. And as everybody knows, there's been things that's happened to me off the air with
right.
family and stuff like that. So we're kind of tight on vacation days this year. So it's killing me not to go down there, but there was reasons that were more important than a trip this year, so we might not be going, but we're trying to go down because my wife loves to chew in the fall.
Right.
And then seeing all these meals and the different kiosks and the additions, plus it being the 20th anniversary, I want to go so bad.
Right, right. So you don't want to get too amped up in case you don't go, so I get that. But, you never know. Maybe it'll work out that you do get down there.
If not, then it'll be definitely February or March of next year.
Well, there you go. You can do the...
As soon as she gets her days reloaded,
yeah,
we'll be off to see the wizard.
Well, you know, now that food and wine is, pretty much everything's released, and we'll be talking about Flower and Garden soon enough. So if it ends up being spring for you, then you can look forward to that.
Whatever, dude. There's so much that I look forward to. I was telling her if we stay at the B Resort or we go to downtown or we do a split stay at Riverside and B Resort or something like that, I am so excited about just seeing Disney Springs. Like, I keep telling her I could spend a few days there, and she's like, there is no way we could go down there and you're going to be not going over to the parks right away. I said, well, I tried to tell you that.
Right. See, I could do that. I wouldn't have any problems at all not going to the parks. Even, you know, if I was down there for 2-3 days or a long weekend, yeah. I could do that, but that's just me.
Yeah, I could too. Especially with all the upgrades and all the new stuff, I could just spend days down there.
Absolutely.
But these craft beer flights, a lot of the new desserts, I mean, they look incredible, the new entrees. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they got, you know, just a kind of an overview that they're opening up a couple of kiosks in Future World, too. So you'll be able to, you know, get some food and wine type items in the front of the Epcot as opposed to just around World Showcase. So that's new this year that is exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, my wife is really loves that chew. So we're hoping if we don't get to see them this year. Yeah, we're really hoping to get down there next year, Dan. I mean, I'm going to try my darndest, do everything I possibly can, because she really loves it, and we hope to get to see the chew very, very, I hope sooner than later, Dan.
Well, I'm praying for you, buddy. I hope it works out, and like we said, if not, you can shoot for the spring.
Absolutely. Get to see some garden.
There you go. Yeah.
What's next?
Ice Palace Boutique joins the Frozen Summer Fun at Disney's Hollywood Studio later this month. And I think we mentioned this a few shows back, but basically it's going to be opening on July 26th, where guests ages 3 to 12 can undergo a Frozen-inspired transformation. And they're actually going to be doing this in the former American Idol audition area just across from the ABC commissary. So that will be a bottleneck now if you're trying to cut through to get the Star Tours, because I can imagine this is going to be pretty popular. And there's different packages, if you will. There's the Frozen Summer Fun Boutique package, which includes Anna or Elsa-inspired shimmering makeup palette, face gems, nail polish, and a braided hairpiece with sparkling snowflake accessory, and an exclusive photo op. Retail package for $75.
Another bippity-boppity boutique, basically.
Right. Exactly what it is. And then they have the Ice Palace Boutique Package, which is $175. And what do you get? I think you get everything you get in the first package, plus access to the Ice Palace Cafe and reserve seating at one of the, for the first time in forever, Frozen sing-along celebration shows. So that's $175.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Then, if you're really going to be a high roller, you can get the Ice Palace Boutique Deluxe Package, which includes Anna or Elsa costume, plus the items offered in the boutique package, and that retails for $240 plus tax.
Now, is there going to be any Olaf or Sven?
You get they have an Olaf-inspired package, which just includes a glitter hairstyle and an Olaf T-shirt. That's $19.95 plus tax. So, yeah.
You going to get that one, Dan?
I'm going to get all of them. I'm going for the gusto. No, it's, yeah, I mean, like I said, we knew this was coming, and I would imagine this is going to be insanely popular. Although I do have issue with these packages, and I know I've gone on my rant before, because, you know, somebody that shells out for a 7-day park hopper or whatever, if they're, you know, going for maybe they're only in, you know, once and only, or only a couple times in 10 years or whatever, you know, they've already shelled out all this money and all the expense to go to Disney World, and then, you know, they may be faced with their, you know, daughter looking up and say, oh, I want to do that, and it may not be affordable for all families. So that's kind of tough that...
Well, absolutely, because it's not a little hit, it's a big hit.
Oh, exactly.
Especially if you have a couple daughters.
Yep.
And I wish they did. They should have did a lumberjack makeup.
Yeah.
For the boys.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, they have the Olaf, but...
you're telling me it sparkles in the hair. That ain't for no boy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but you know what I'm saying. I think they should do like a lumberjack or something, too.
Yeah, you're going to go over to Epcot for that.
Yeah.
No, I'm only kidding.
No, but, I'm not going there.
Yeah. But anyways, it is what it is, and those that want to do this can do this now at the studios.
I'm going to do three or four to $240 packages.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see here. Moving right along, the expansion construction is underway at the Adventureland Veranda Restaurant that we still don't know what it's going to be named or anything like that, but that's the restaurant that we all are speculating is going to be somehow tied into the Jungle Cruise over there. So that's good news that we're going to get another sit-down dining option over in the Magic Kingdom, which is sorely needed. So, again, more construction, and no surprise here, but things continue to happen down there. We're construction all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, this is the last place I thought they would start tearing more apart at the Magic Kingdom right now.
Right, right.
With everything else going on. And this is a major overhaul over there. I mean, I'm looking at the construction of it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that they kept the whole facade the same, but that it takes longer to retrofit it than it does to just tear it down. But as you can see from the pictures I've seen, they have new block work and all, so it looks like they're extending the restaurant straight out from what I can see. It's going to be double in size, everything I'm reading here.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me, too. And you're right, Doug. I mean, there's existing buildings there, and they only have so much space. So building it out a little bit makes sense, I guess. And like we said, we need a sit-down dining over in that part of the park. So this is a good thing, I think. And I'll be excited to eat there when it finally opens.
Absolutely, because all the Magic Kingdom restaurants are good, but none of them, like, blow me away. Is there anything in there? I mean, I like the counter. I honestly prefer the counter service at Magic Kingdom than I do the sit-downs. I mean, Be Our Guest is okay, but mm-hmm. I think that's more all the fluff around it than it is. And it's more the excitement around it than it is the actual food for me. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad,
right?
But for what you spend in there for dinner and all, and I don't think it's... The atmosphere is worth more than the food, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I think that's a general theme throughout the Magic Kingdom. And generally speaking, when you think of, fine dining or, somewhere you want to go for a signature dinner over your vacation or something like that, Magic Kingdom proper rarely ever comes to mind, at least with me anyways.
Absolutely. I mean, myself, I'd rather have Pecos Bills and Columbia Harbor House then if I just base it on enjoying my meal. The atmosphere is fine in both of them. I mean, Pecos Bill's, it's just Disney World in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's crowded, it's all, but it just has that atmosphere. Like, I love the atmosphere in there, as long as it's not overbearingly crowded like it can be.
Right.
But did you sit down there, grab a couple Disney burgers with the salad bar fixings, mm-hmm. the whole nine yards? I love that. And my Columbia, I prefer, I mean, them two. I mean, we've talked about the palace. We've talked about Cinderella's Royal Table. I can't justify that ever again unless something changes. I mean, they need to drastically change the menu there. So I'm hoping this is the go-to place in the Magic Kingdom now.
Yeah, I mean, Be Our Guest took a step in the right direction in my view as far as getting something a little better there. But I agree with you. We've eaten there twice, I believe, at Be Our Guest and are over the top. But I think the main draw there, obviously, is the decor and the dining halls and the Beauty and the Beast related stuff that's there. So I totally agree with you. I mean, Columbia Harbor House, the Plaza, although that's technically a sit down, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'd prefer eating there over some of the other choices. I mean, if you're
I get yelled at for Tony's all the time,
but I'd rather
eat there.
Yeah. And, the buffet at, what do you call it?
Liberty Tree.
No, I was going to the other one, the Winnie the Pooh one, Crystal Palace.
Palace, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talked about this last week. You're not a big buffet person anyway. So, I mean, it's buffet food. It's good, but, it's also quite expensive, too. So, I think this will be a good add to the Magic Kingdom.
Everybody knows me. I'm a germaphobe.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's why Disney buffets are about as far as I go. I mean, I haven't eaten at a buffet locally. I can't even. I don't think ever in forever. I can't remember when.
Yeah, we never.
The last buffet I ate at I can remember is I was in my early 20s on spring break in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they have Calabash seafood. Which the seafood is out of this world. It's all you can eat, crab legs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And it was awesome. I ate more hush puppies than anything else. They right. were good. But that's the last buffet off Disney property I can remember going to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few up here, but we never go to them. And it's more about volume of food than it is about quality of food. But again, Crystal Palace is good. I mean, I'm not going to say that it isn't, but... You know, I was going to do it again. But really, how much food can you eat, right? I mean, at some point you're going to be full and you know. But there again, with the character buffets, at least if, you know, part of your strategy is to get good photo ops with the characters, I guess.
That's what it's all about, the characters. Because the kids are not... how many of those kids that pay for the buffet are even finishing the main meal?
Right.
Let alone going back for more.
Yeah, they're more interested in seeing Winnie the Pooh and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, and I do have to agree with you. I know people get on me about this. But, yeah, buffets in general are not the most sanitary food distribution places. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I told a story about the Chef Mickey's once. And that's why I just don't like Chef Mickey's. And I know, you know, people... go on and on about how great that is, and it is, I mean, with the characters and all that, but the story goes something like this. I mean, I was behind a family, and there was a little kid that was, you know, behind his mother and father, but in front of me, and they weren't paying attention, and the kid started sticking his hands in some of the things, and again, he was a kid, and I get that. I mean, it's going to happen, but you know, the mother and father didn't see him, and I'm thinking, you know, how many kids have done that or stuck their hands in there or whatever, and I don't know. It's just, that just turned me off. I mean, and I'm sure it happens at the Crystal Palace, too. I just happen to see this particular incident, but buffets, really not for me.
And not even just the kids. Then you have the guy that wants to put his hand in there, or he's sneezing over it, or it just, you know... I mean, like my brother, he's like Larry Cable Guy. I wouldn't follow him through a buffet. I mean, and it's just me. It's like I'm that way. I'm on the construction site. I always have a napkin. I'm clean. I just, it's who I am. You know, I'm the oddball in the whole bunch. But, you know, if I'm out, I'll eat pizza with a fork and knife sometimes if it's too sloppy. I just don't like, a mess.
Right.
So if you want to hire me for your house, your house will be cleaner when I leave than when I got there. You know, that's just how I am. I'm a germaphobe. So.
Yes.
You okay there, my friend?
Yeah. I'm choking on something here, I guess.
We don't want everybody calling 911 while they're listening to the show.
I'm going to make it.
There you go.
Let's see. Moving along here. Shanghai Disneyland announcement. They give a hint for what to expect at the new Soaring at Epcot. And I don't know if you read this story, Doug, but
yeah, I did.
It's great, great news. And it's what we've all been speculating for probably a couple of years now, that if and when they change the movie at Soaring, that it would be Soaring Over the World. And I'm just going to paraphrase here. But basically, when the Shanghai Disneyland version of Soarin' opens, it's going to have a movie that basically you're soaring over the world, and they're going to show all sort of world landmarks and stuff like that. And the story actually does say at the end that this will be coming to Disney California Adventure and also to Epcot and Walt Disney World. So, yes, we're going to get a new movie, and yes, it's going to be Soaring Over the World, which we've all been hankering for quite a while.
Yeah, they're saying, like, Great Wall of China stuff, all different world landmarks. What I hope is, because they said the recordings were going over Epcot at the Magic Kingdom, remember they said planes were flying over recording stuff?
Yep.
I hope what happens is that, to make it unique, kind of like Lou was stating on our last show how he likes Cars Land in California, you don't want it here. Which I do want it here. I do like that Soarin's at both parks. But what I hope they do, I hope they keep the Disneyland ending or a new one at Disneyland. And I hope they give us our own ending here at Epcot to kind of differentiate them a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they do that. I mean, it'll be more expensive, obviously. But, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, you know, fly over Epcot, maybe fly over all four parks at the end and then land on our main street, or you know what I mean, the same way they do at Disneyland, go down I-4 or something like that. I'd prefer them just to fly over all four parks. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get that view of all the parks inside that theater?
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. And, you know, this is a very early story, and it could change by the time it finally gets here. I mean, yeah, let's see. This is going to have to do with the expanded capacity, the third theater that they're building. So probably when that concludes, that'll be part of it that we'll get the new movie. So I think they're saying late in 2016 it's supposed to be done.
Oh, okay.
So we still got a little ways to go, but, you know, at least we know it's coming, right?
Absolutely. I hope they expand something over to those other places. I hope this means the start of things to come in a future world at Epcot myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody keeps clamoring for more countries and stuff like that. I like World Showcase. I would mind another one, like Australia, like John Peter said. But like John Peter said, I'm happy with I want Future World to be worked on. I'm happy with World Showcase, and we've said before we'd like other countries, but honestly, I just want to see Future World worked on and improved, because it's been a long time since anything's been done there.
No doubt about it. And with you know, the Michael Jackson ride there, and you know, there's a lot of things that could be done there, and innovations. I know they're changing some stuff out there, but that's all minor stuff. So yeah, anything new or different in Future World would be much appreciated.
I'll be honest with you, I love living with the land and all that mm-hmm. stuff, but I wouldn't even go off the reservation if, and I am American Indian, so I'm not saying anything wrong here. But I wouldn't even mind I wouldn't be going off the reservation if I said I would mind seeing that whole Soarin' Pavilion redone.
Yeah, I mean, that would, you know, that would be the ultimate. I don't see that happening, though. Like we were just saying, with everything else they got going on all over property, I can't imagine they'd do something like that. But who knows?
Who thought a restaurant was going up in Magic Kingdom already?
True.
I mean, it's like, I would have thought that after Fantasyland, I'd have figured, besides just normal maintenance and upkeep, that nothing with everything going on at the studios and Springs and everywhere else, mm-hmm. I wouldn't think you'd have seen anything done in the Magic Kingdom for the next 5 years.
Right. No, I agree. So that did come out of nowhere, no doubt about it. But, hey, it's nice to dream, right?
Absolutely. So what's next, my friend?
Yeah, just for those runners out there, registration is now open for the 2016 Disney Princess Half Marathon. So those runners out there, if you want to sign up for that, you can do so.
And when I moved down there, another one of those bucket list things,
right,
when we moved
right.
there. Yeah.
Right.
I like the Animal Kingdom ones that they had running through the park, the scavenger hunt.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
something I would enjoy doing.
Oh, absolutely.
It was like in high school. I was fast as could be. The track coach begged me constantly to get on the track team.
Right.
And I could never run just to run.
Right.
There has to be a ball involved or something to do. I just, you know. Like, I enjoyed football, basketball, baseball, all organized sports. God bless runners. I give them all the credit in the world, because it's a discipline to keep yourself going.
Right.
But if there's not something involved in it, I can't do it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, maybe we can drag a filet mignon in front of you or something. That'll keep you going.
No, that's Lou Mangiello.
Oh, okay.
Mine would have to be a goal at the end or somewhere to fight through to get to an end zone or something. I just could never just run the run.
Right. No.
Register for the event, guys. I mean, I know there's, like, Mike and them have the lizards.
Yeah, they have a whole group of people that, you know, follow them and actually do all these Run Disney races, and actually races all over the country and all over the world. I mean, you always see Mike posting pictures of people in the lizards shirts, the bright green ones there. So
absolutely,
yeah, running is a huge thing, and you know, I know a lot of people that are into it, and that's awesome for those that like that kind of thing. More power to them.
Absolutely. Well, me and Brenda have talked about it. If I was ever going to do a marathon, I would like to do the Disney World one, just because you would get to see things that you normally don't.
Right.
Like running through the parks at off hours.
Yep.
So I would probably do it for that, because there's a means to an end for that.
Mm-hmm.
But just to get up in the morning and go out and run down the street, I just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I even take my dog for a walk and I get bored. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I know that's not running, but just going the same route day after day. I try to change it up, but, you know, I just get pretty bored pretty quickly.
Don't it bother you? Like, I walk Presley, but I've stopped recently because of all my idiot neighbors, and I express idiot. Anybody that has a dog that constantly lets it get free?
Yeah.
Like, I know you have problems with yours because he likes to jump a six-foot fence.
Right.
But you're just not letting it free to be free.
Oh, no, he has.
You've done everything possible, and he hasn't gotten out in, like, a long, long
time. Oh, right. It's been over almost a year, going on a year now. So, I mean, I'm a responsible dog owner, and I would never, you know, we would have had to do something more drastic if that continued to be a problem.
Absolutely. But I got neighbors around me that have dogs that they don't contain, they don't keep, they don't pay attention. They open the door and just let them out.
Yeah, that's not.
And my dog's getting in fights because my dog, we've talked about on the show and off the air, my dog's an idiot. He's a guard dog.
Right, right.
And he will fight at the drop of a hat. But I walk him, he's on a leash, and he's never been out.
Right.
If he goes out, the couple times that I left the gate open, literally he wants to come back in. He don't want to be away from us.
Right.
He's that trained. He knows he's not supposed to be out.
Right.
But I'm walking up down the street. My dog's fighting long-haired shepherds, people with Rottweilers and pit bulls letting them free. A neighbor of mine got attacked by a pit bull down the street, and I don't condemn the dog. I ain't saying it's just because of that. But the difference is with a pit bull is I can't take it.
Right, right.
There's a lot of dogs I could take. I'm not. So it ain't saying that they're bad animals or bad breeds, but a big shepherd, a Rottweiler, or a pit bull, a normal human being is going to get hurt trying to stop that dog.
Oh, right.
So exactly. So that's my point. Be responsible. So I want to walk more, but I feel sorry. I worry about these runners. What my point is, it's scary even running anymore when people let their dogs free and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you guys run things differently down there. I don't know how it is, but in the towns I live around here, the dog catcher, I mean, he and they rule with an iron fist. I mean, they won't tolerate dogs off the leash. They'd come and pick them up in a heartbeat. I mean, you should, and I understand what you're saying. In my view, you shouldn't be in fear of yourself or others or your own dog just walking around your neighborhood. I mean,
no.
They should be restrained, either kenneled or leashed or whatever, and you know, and then I know what you're saying. God forbid something happens or a dog comes at you and you end up kicking it or doing whatever just to protect yourself or your dog for that matter. You know, then they want to sue you or something, you know.
Yeah, and I just don't want to see my dog or another one hurt because of an irresponsible owner. But literally my dog got in a fight with a 110-pound shepherd.
Wow.
As we were walking them, and my dog got wrapped around the mailbox, and I'm trying to, and they're going at it.
Right.
And I'm screaming, and I was kidding when I got home. I said to my wife, I said, did you hear that woman screaming? Because I was screaming like a little girl in the street, help! I mean, I was losing my voice, and then finally he came out and got his dog.
Right.
But the point of it is that's a scary feeling where two massive dogs are going at it. My dog weighs 72 pounds. This is 110.
Right.
102, whatever it was.
Right, right.
And it was no joke, but my point is, it's like you want to go walk. You want to do these things. I worry about these runners.
Yeah.
These people leave. And the dog catchers caught my neighbor's other neighbor's dogs like four or five times. They just keep giving them back to them.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, hey, accidents happen, like you said at the beginning of our discussion about this. And, you know, you can understand that. But to just let your pet, you know, dog, any animal for that matter, just out to, you know, fend for themselves, that's not right. Because as much as we love our pets and our animals, I mean, there's people out there that don't like dogs or cats or they have a fear of them. And, you know, it's not for us
to judge.
For that reason. Yeah, exactly.
For that reason. They're running down the road like, you know, and being chased by a dog. I remember as kids, you'd know a certain house where you'd get speed up because you know that the dog was out. You were on your bicycle.
Right. I mean, no doubt. I mean, when I was a kid, there used to be packs of dogs that roamed the neighborhood, and they were just everybody's, you know, the neighbor's dog and this dog and that dog, and people would just have that attitude to just let them out and, you know, for the day or whatever and let them do what they want. But at least up here, those days are over. I mean, they might give you a chance or two, but they're not going to tolerate multiple calls or multiple times they pick them up. But, you know, it is what it is. It's too bad because, you know, it's kind of affecting your life because you want to maybe be out there or take a nice walk after dinner or something, and you know, you're choosing not to do it for good reason. You know, I get it.
Yeah, we have an acre of property, and my neighbor behind me has a big property, so I still walk him on the grounds.
Right.
But I want to go down my road and go through the neighborhood, and like even half the parks are all my parks in my state now, there's like very few and far between where you can even bring a dog anymore.
Right.
Because nobody taking care of their own stuff.
Right.
But this has been the Cesar Millan Dog Whisperer podcast.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we get off on that tangent.
It's two guys sitting at the bar discussing whatever, Dan.
All right, yeah, moving right along here.
There you go.
Yeah, new update to iOS. My Disney Experience now is going to include Touch ID. So those of you that have the iPhone or phones that use that technology, no more putting in your password. So if for some reason it doesn't automatically populate, you'll just be able to put your thumb on it or whatever, and you're off and going. So, you know, they continue to tweak and upgrade the app as time goes on here. So this is all good.
Just a little bit more to confuse you, but I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be well worth the wait.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I like a lot of the technology. I mean, there was a question I seen online or on Twitter or whatever. What's the best thing that's happened to Disney in the last 10 years? And I really think when it's all said and done, I know Fantasyland and this and all was mentioned, but I think the Magic Bands and this update with the Wi-Fi, the whole nine yards, is going to be the best thing that's happened to Disney.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. I agree with you. And it's just amazing how, you know, it seems like we've had it for years and years, but obviously it isn't that long. But, yeah, it's just becoming second nature now. And, you know, everybody was all worried about it, myself included. When it first came out, I was confused, didn't understand. There was a couple bumps in the road. But now that I've been working with it for, you know, 18 months or however long it's been, maybe a couple of years now.
A couple years now.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to get better and better, and they tweak it. And, you know, we do hear some horror stories occasionally about how somebody couldn't get in the park or they can't get in their hotel room or whatever. But I think them are becoming far and few between, and by and large, the system works pretty good.
Yeah, but that even happened with the old passes.
True.
Sometimes
true.
You go to your room, room key wouldn't work. I've had it where those keys actually ruined my credit cards. Because of the magnetic strips on them, my credit cards wouldn't swipe. And it was a brand new card that worked the whole way down, and I put the room key next to it and ruined the magnetic strip on my credit card.
Yeah, demagnetized it or something.
Exactly, and that'll happen with your room key, too. They'll counteract each other. But I've had that happen. How many times you go to the park with the old fingerprints and you or your mother-in-law or your wife couldn't get in?
Oh, yeah.
They eventually did, but it was you'd hold up the line and you felt like the idiot that got pulled off to the side that you didn't know how to stick your two fingers down.
Right. Or even,
you look back and how many people's rolling their eyes at you because you couldn't get in.
Exactly. I mean, I've even had fast passes that were issued and they were correct in the right time frame and wouldn't let me in. And how many times have you had the cast member come over and override it or stick their master pass in or something and just let you in? So it happens.
Yeah. You know, look at that idiot. Don't even know how to put his thumb down.
Yeah.
Can't give a thumbprint.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, that's been many times.
No, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, they continue to tweak that. And I'll just mention here a little bit more detail. We alluded to it in one of our earlier news items. But the four Future World Marketplace kiosks to open at this year's Epcot Food and Wine Festival, along with new premium events, and they're going to have something called the Artistry of Wine and Cheese, which will be featuring a cheese studio and wine studio. Well, them are the two kiosks, cheese and wine, and these are the ones that are going to be located in Future World. And then they also, I guess, having the tie into the Chew going down there, they're going to have a sustainable Chew marketplace, where guests can taste delicious dishes inspired by the Chew co-hosts, and then the Chew Lab, which is going to be a food science meets the hottest culinary tech trends to present innovative dishes like liquid nitro chocolate almond truffle with warm whiskey caramel. That sounds good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, and then a couple of the premium events. They're going to have these Party for the Senses, if you remember them from previous years, they're going to have the Yellowween Masquerade Party for the Census 31, which is an elegant dance-the-night-away gourmet tasting party with champagne, wine, craft beers, and specialty cocktails paired with food. I thought they were going to give a price here. They didn't. But and then they're going to have the ChewCast will host a new premium event, the Rockin' Burger Block Party 8, with specialty burgers and sliders inspired by the top names in the music industry, such as Dave Matthews, and his Dreaming Tree Wines, and Carlos Santana's Casa Noble Tequila. Two additional burger block parties are set. The two parties are set for September 25th and November 6th. And you can start booking these. Reservations will open on July 30th, and you can call 407-WDW-FEST if you want to go to any of these premium events. So new things coming for the...
So I also hear, Dennis, they're going to be playing a game of Michael Simon Says.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the obvious joke there, right?
Yeah, so they're going to get in front of I heard it's going to be in front of the fountains, and everybody can come out, and Michael's going to be the leader, and he's going to do Michael Simon Says, and you'll cook while he's telling you what to do.
There you go. I'm sure he's heard that a million times in his life, right?
If not, we've said it a million times in this house.
Right, right. That's too much. Let's see here. Disney's Hollywood Studios about to get its version of a Blue Sky Cellar Preview Center. And this is going to be located in the now-closed Magic of Disney Animation Building. Speculation. We don't know that that's going to happen for sure. But much like the Disneyland Resort Blue Sky Cellar, the Hollywood Studios may soon get a preview center for the upcoming extreme makeover of the park. So I guess this will be, maybe they'll do like they do in One Man's Dream. Maybe they'll build a model or something to show what the park's going to look like when it's done and the different things, which I think is an awesome idea.
No, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly what it's going to be yet, but, they do these things at the... at the end of One Man's Dream there, usually they'll show the park that was just built or maybe, construction. I think they had, for years they had the Animal Kingdom in there and different parks all around the world. But
it was like the original preview center when Magic Kingdom was coming.
Exactly.
Walt Disney World was coming.
Exactly. So, I think this is great. There's not going to be a whole lot to do other than a few core attractions at the studios anyway. So if you can at least see what's going to come in the near future over there, I guess that'd be a good thing.
Yeah, I got some grief for saying shut down the park last week, but my point was me and you could roam around the stores and the studios and like Lou and you, and because we've been there so many times, but really, I mean, when it's all said and done, but if they keep closing all this stuff, what's going to be left? I mean, six or seven things. I mean, I know they never will, but my point was, if they did, construction would be done 10 times faster. But think about it when all these walls go up in the studios. How contained it's going to be. It's going to be like Disney Springs.
Right. Yeah, or like Animal Kingdom was, or at least parts of it were for the past few years. I mean, I think the biggest reason, obviously, money is the first and foremost. I don't think that.
But don't you think everybody would go to the other parks anyway? It ain't like they're nobody's going to Disney World for the studios.
Right.
As of right now.
But the way they look at it, Doug, is they're still charging the same admission that they are. I mean, if they close the park, just think they'd have to change all the ticket structures and the prices, and if somebody already bought an annual pass, including the Hollywood Studios, now they got to give money back, or it'd be a nightmare to do that. And frankly, they won't, because they're still going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars off of having the studios opened, even at limited capacity or
the only reason I don't want to see it close is because of the cast members with jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's the main reason I don't. But I don't think it affects ticket prices at all because you're buying an annual pass that you can go to any park any day.
Right, but I know what you're saying. If they literally close the gates, they could probably get done what they need to get done in 18 months instead of 5 years doing it bits and pieces. I know what you're saying. It makes
half
sense.
Half the time, because it takes so much time just
right.
putting walls up and all the safety things.
Right.
Because it's bad enough with OSHA and all and Disney and all, you're being safe for the contractors.
Right.
But now you got the whole new ball of wax with guests roaming around.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. They could do it quicker and easier if they close the gates. But like I said,
that was my reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I want to see the studios
closed.
No.
I didn't take it that way. You were just looking to do it the most efficient way possible, and that certainly would be. I mean, again, you think about it. They could have done the same thing at Disney Springs. You said, look, we're going to bite the bullet for, 14 months or 18 months or whatever, and we're just going to, there'll be no people down here. We can just go crazy with the construction, and it would have been done long ago.
Yeah, the only difference I could see between the two is almost everything in the studios Disney owns for the most part.
Right.
At Springs, there's outside vendors. That's their only location, or they depend on that. Like,
right.
Gloria Estefan's and, Bongo's, all the different restaurants, Wolfgang Puck's,
mm-hmm.
they're all their own entities in a way.
Right.
Where you close them down, you're hurting them. Where at the studios, all Disney's hurting is really themselves and maybe Starbucks, but Starbucks wouldn't have opened if they would have planned on doing it the way that I thought they should.
Right. Yeah, no.
If that makes
sense.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. It would be the better way to do it. No, it would be quicker, cheaper, and faster if they did it that way. But like we said, for the reasons we just discussed, I doubt very much they would ever do that.
Especially with Animal Kingdom coming up being a nighttime park soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be open 9 to 9 or 7 to 9, whatever the deal is going to be once Avatar Land opens.
Right.
I mean, all the people that would normally still – they aren't going to – my opinion, nobody's going to stop visiting because that was closed.
Right, right.
And so the same people that would be going in there would be going to the other three parks or Springs anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to lose much revenue.
True. Yeah, but you got to think about it like this. When you buy a – say you just buy a park hopper or whatever, whether you go to the studios or not is irrelevant. You've already paid for it. You're paying for it. The fact you go to Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, and Epcot – you know what I'm saying? You're paying part of that ticket you paid for. It's for the studios. So just because you physically don't go there, Disney still got their money. So what do they care?
Yeah, well, basically the reason I'm paying for this, most of the time I'm paying for the park hopper is because the studios is a half-day park. The Animal Kingdom, we would go early and it would close early.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, if it wasn't for those two parks, I wouldn't need a park hopper anyway.
Right. No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, is my point of that. I mean, because I'll go to the studios early and end up at Epcot. I go to Animal Kingdom early, I end up at Epcot.
Right, right.
Magic Kingdom, you could spend the whole day there. You could spend the whole day at Epcot.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I mean, I could spend a day at Animal Kingdom, but it closes early, so I don't have that opportunity a lot of times when it closes at 5, 6 o'clock.
Right.
So, but you couldn't. I dare anybody, defy anybody, to actually spend a day at studios from 9 in the morning or 8 in the morning till 9 at night.
Yeah, that would be tough. I mean, like you said earlier, and like we discussed with Lou, unless you were there and you were really going to, spend a day looking at the different crown moldings and windows. And no, really. I mean,
exactly.
If you did a trip like that and you were going to take photographs of every building, I mean, you could. But the normal family, doing the park the way they do a theme park, you're right. You'd be out of things to do by mid-afternoon, no doubt about it.
Now, if it was going to be like me and you and where I was going to go in the writer's stop and
mm-hmm.
sit down and read a book for a couple hours and have breakfast.
Right, right, right.
And then go to lunch over at 50s Prime Time and drag it out, have a couple-hour lunch, a business meeting with all you and all my buddies.
Right.
And then end the late dinner at the Brown Derby and spend a couple hours. Now, yeah, if I spend 6 hours eating, then probably I could spend the day there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. No doubt about it. But the good news is that they're going to put a bunch of new stuff in there.
I can't wait. I'm done my wowing now.
Right. And that's pretty much all I have, unless you have any other news-related items you want to discuss.
No, that's about it then.
All right.
You want to end this show playing a little bit of First Thing You Think Of?
Sure, that's always fun.
Yeah, we'll give a few of these and we'll go from there. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
I'm going to tell you one first. How's that sound?
Okay, go for it.
I'll make you the guinea pig to start. To keep the theme of we did our whole dog thing, what's your first thing you think of when I say dog at Walt Disney World?
Pluto.
Pluto?
Yeah, just Pluto, the character Pluto that you might see out and around the parks. That's what I think of.
Well, my wife, when I spoke to her, because I had her, and because I usually run these by her to see how they work.
Right.
And her thing she came up with, the first thing she thought of was the dog at Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Keys at the end.
Yep, yeah.
Okay, my second one was the dog at Carousel of Progress.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the one that's in every scene, yep.
Absolutely, he's a major part of that, which I love.
Yeah.
But the thing I thought of was it was the first time I've ever seen a dog in the parks. It was my last trip. We're walking in World Showcase over by Norway and China in that area, and a dog came by. It was a service dog walking with one of the visitors, mm-hmm. and it took us back. Have you ever seen a dog walking through any of the parks?
Yeah, I've seen those service dogs quite a few times, actually. It is kind of weird when you see it at first, and then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, service dog. But yeah, I've seen probably a handful over the years.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful yellow lab, but it just kind of took me back. I mean, I wasn't upset about it. I was happy about it. I wanted Presley with me.
Yeah, right.
you know what I mean?
Right.
But that's how it was. But that's the first thing I thought of was that, and then it went over to Carousel Progress.
Yeah, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Doug, I believe if you, how would I describe this? If you go under Spaceship Earth, and you know how you got to go right or left to cut around it, on the right-hand side, if you're entering the park, if you go right, on the left-hand side, there is an area, and I forget how they termed it, but there is an area for dogs to use the facilities, let's just say. There's like a green spot up against a building, and it's I believe the sign says something, you know, for service dogs or whatever, and it's for them to, you know, use the facilities, like I said. So so we know they do let them in there, and I remember seeing that sign now that we're talking about it and saying, wow, that's pretty cool that they actually have, areas for, you know, the dogs to relieve themselves.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I just wish, and to lead me on to further this subject is, I wish Disney would have a resort that would allow you to have dogs.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the hotels now up and down 95, different, I book trips for guests, and animals are a part of people's families now, and I would love to be. Wouldn't you like to be able to take your dog down with you?
Yeah, I would actually, and you know, we know that they do have the kennels over there across from Riverside now. Not
yeah,
that that's
friend.
The same, but and you know, to give our friends up the street there a shout. I know at Universal they have a building in one of their hotels where they are pet friendly, so you can bring your dog or cat with you if you're staying at Universal at one of the hotels. I forget which one it is. So they're doing it, and maybe Disney will get on board and do something like that too.
Yeah, because what they could do is they could make a lot of these rooms with solid surface floors, tile, full ceramic tile floors, or you know, all solid surfaces for the vanities, everything but the linens, if you follow me.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have to worry about any of the smells or anything like that. There are ways to make them dog-friendly, too. I understand it, just like smoking. Nobody wants to stay in a room after you've been in with Fido.
Right, exactly.
But the point is, I would love to be able to go, because it would take some of the stress away, because I don't know about you, but every time my dog's in a kennel, he just comes back busted up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, mentally, it's hard on the owner, and it's hard on the pet too. And you know, we always, we always feel sad when we drop our pets off over the years. But you know, I always rationalize it like, look, I got to go on vacation, and I'd love to take you, buddy, but you're going to jail for a week, and that's the way it is, and it's tough. But you know, we had to do it. You know, over the years, there's been times where we've been lucky enough to have a family member stay at the house. So, you know, at least the dog, although he did miss us, at least he was in his own environment anyways.
See, I'd like to open up a kennel that has what it should have now with all the today's technology. And I'm sure they're going to give this away, or somebody might already have it. They should have flat screens in every kennel so you could Skype your dog whenever you want.
Yeah, there you go.
This way you could be with them.
Right.
You know how a lot of them now have, like, our one Halo house that's in our neighborhood. It's a very nice one. It has TVs where it plays the Animal Planet all day.
Oh, yeah.
So you take your dog, they have Animal Planet playing. You'll see every dog, like the deluxe areas, they all have TVs and elevated beds, the whole nine yards.
Right.
Well, wouldn't it be cool if they just put your flat screen in there and you could contact the dog whenever you want on Skype and be able to talk to him?
Yeah.
At least you could see him a couple times a day and keep let him know you're still thinking of him.
Yeah. And then when he hears the voice, you know, maybe go crazy.
Brighten up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Not a bad idea. But, yeah, no, that's a huge deal with people and pets. And
I know it is for me.
Yeah.
As mad as he makes me, I still love him. He's the most frustrating thing in my life, my dog. He's so bullheaded.
Right.
But as much as he drives me nuts, as much as I love the little brat.
Right, right. Yeah, that's so often the relationship we have with our pets. They aggravate you to death, but you love them to death, you know?
Yeah, because there's nothing like that unconditional love.
Right, exactly. All right, let me get one for you here. What's the first thing you think of when I say the word brick or bricks? Either one.
I would have to say, Liberty Square.
Okay.
Just all the buildings there, the Hall of Presidents, the whole area, and that the pavers, the walkways, the whole.
Yeah, that's a good one. Either that or over at the American Adventure over at Epcot, there's a lot of the red pavers there, and the building itself is all, brick. So that's what I had in mind when I wrote that one down. But Liberty Square is also a place where there's a lot of bricks.
Yeah, that whole area, the whole walkways, the whole courtyard, that whole area leading all the way over to Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, that's another good one. And I know that, you know, I wrote down here, I was thinking about the, what did they call it, Build-A-Brick, or the brick program they used to have where you could stencil your family name and date your vacation.
Oh, yeah, the walkways out front, yeah, when you put your life, you put your initials and your family name in, yeah.
I always wanted one of them. I just missed it. I think maybe it was the first year. It might have been the second or third year, but they got rid of that program, and, you know, why, I don't know, because if they got people willing to throw them $100 for a brick, look, I don't see why they stopped it, but for some reason they did. But, I know it was, at the time, $100, you know, it was still a lot of money, and it still is a lot of money, but I always thought it'd be cool to have my own brick down there at Disney World that was there 24/7, 365.
Yeah, we also thought about the ones with at Epcot when you entered over at Future World when you came in. Remember they had all the pyramids there, the stones?
Yeah.
We thought about doing that a couple times, too, and we never did. Thank goodness, because they removed all them.
Yeah, I had heard they were going to put them somewhere else on property, but I never did hear a final answer on that, whether they just got rid of them or they just relocated them. I don't know. I think that come out the Millennium year, wasn't it? Where they did that? Yeah.
2000.
Yeah, that's what I recall. And, we never did that either, but we did contemplate it. And
wonder if everybody got their money back since they took it down.
Yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure somewhere in the fine print it said that, you know, this may or may not be here in the future and blah, blah, blah. So what do you got for me next?
I'm sticking with a theme of D. What do you think of when I say darkness?
Darkness. Haunted Mansion. I think
that's exactly what I came up with.
Yeah, I mean, right away, Dark Ride, and then I thought of Mine Train after that, the center spot of the Mine Train. But, yeah, darkness would definitely be Haunted Mansion for me. That immediately popped into my head.
Absolutely. Going in, the whole thing on that ride, some of the there's, it's just amazing. I love the Haunted Mansion. It's not completely dark the whole time, but it's just dark enough. That's what made me think. Brenda came up with Pirates of the Caribbean when you first go down the first drop.
Oh, yeah, the little hill there. You're in pitch black there, no doubt.
Yeah, that was her first thought, going down that little hill in Pirates.
Yeah, that definitely works. That, and we said Mine Train. What else?
Also, Space Mountain should have been the logical one.
Yeah, that's true.
You're in darkness almost the whole time, and then you also have that little spot on the TTA.
Oh, yeah, another good one. Yeah, there's that one section of track where you're literally in pitch black as well.
Exactly, and then you also have the descent on The Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, another good one. Yeah, I mean, just the word Dark Ride in itself, I mean, you could even throw in, I guess, Winnie the Pooh or even Peter Pan, right? Although there's fluorescent figurines and stuff in there, you are in the darkness for the most part.
Yep. What's your next one, my friend?
All right, I'm giving you one. Now, what do you, the first thing you think of when I say the word flag?
Flag? I think about the flag ceremony of the Magic Kingdom, bringing up and down the flag.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's a great one. And have you ever seen that? I mean, obviously you have. You mentioned it. Yeah, I've seen it over the years. It's amazing they do that every single day. And I like the fact that they try to get a veteran that's, you know, visiting the park or whatever, participate. It's even more moving when you see, an old vet or something, doing that.
Absolutely. And then over at the American Adventure with the American flag flying.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one, too. And I actually, this was kind of one that just because of the way I traveled last time I was at Riverside, and I never even really noticed it, but off to the right, there's I think there's three flags flying, the American flag and the Disney World flag. I forget what the third one is, but they have three flagpoles way over to the right, kind of, to the right of the main entrance, but they have flags there, so that was one that came into my mind as well.
Absolutely. I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah, kind of over to the right of the parking lot there or whatever.
I'm going to keep the D theme going. What do you think about when I say dancing?
Dancing. I think of the Beauty and the Beast show over at Hollywood Studios.
That's a good one. I like that show. I haven't seen it in many years, but it's a good show.
Yeah, it's been probably 5 years since we've seen it as well. But, that's dancing. And quickly after you started talking, then I thought of Festival of the Lion King as well.
Okay. Well, mine was when I thought of this myself, because I say the word and then think of what I do. And mine was the dancing in the ballroom at the Haunted Mansion to keep the Haunted Mansion going.
Ah, nice. That's a great one.
Yeah, where they're spinning around. And Brenda, she came up with It's a Small World with the dolls dancing.
Yeah, that's that works too. I'm trying to think. There's got to be something else we're missing. I guess an oldie but goodie. I would think of that High School Musical parade. You remember a few years ago?
In the back lot?
Exactly. They'd come out and the kids would all dance around.
Shake it, parade or whatever
it
was.
Yeah, exactly. So that'd be one as well.
Exactly, or you could even say on the stage at the castle where they do all the shows. There's always dancing and cast members up there. But the first thing came to my mind was in the dining room when you're going through the dining room scene when it switches over to the dancing in the ballroom.
Yeah, that's I think the obvious pick. But yeah, when you delve into it, there are a lot of other places where you might see dancing as well.
What's my next one?
All right, what do you think of? This might be a little tough, but maybe not. But what do you think of when I say penguin?
Penguin. For some reason, the chill place when you over at Club Cool over at Epcot, when you go in there.
That's a great one.
And where Beverly is.
Yeah, I know, right.
For some reason, I think of that when you say penguin.
Yeah, and that's a great one. I don't think there's a penguin in there, but I could be wrong.
No, but it just makes me think of that.
Yeah, because that would be kind of like how they'd build a penguin exhibit at a zoo or something.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I was actually thinking of the, and this is obscure, so I wouldn't have expected you to get it anyways, but you know when you go on the, it's a great movie ride, I believe. Right on the left is that poster of Wheezy, I think, the penguin.
Okay, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
right to the left, right before you go in. Do I get the wrong attraction? I think it might be...
there are movies beside,
No,
right?
I think it's Mickey's PhilharMagic I'm thinking of, not the great movie ride. But anyways, there's a poster of Wheezy. Yeah, there are no penguins. It's Florida, so I don't believe there's any in the Animal Kingdom that I can think of, correct?
Not that I know of offhand. The only thing I thought about was Club Cool, so I thought you were trying to throw me.
No, I had that Wheezy poster in my mind, which I believe is from Toy Story, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't the character Wheezy the...
Yeah, exactly. Yep, Toy Story.
Yeah, so I was not trying to trick you, I promise.
That's okay. That's okay. My next one for you, keeping with the D's, is drop.
drop Splash Mountain. That's what I
Very
think.
Good. That's what I thought about myself, especially at nighttime when you get to the top of that hill.
Yep.
And you could see the whole park with the lights. Yep. I think that's one of the most amazing things to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, drop also fits for Tower of Terror.
That's what my wife came up
right.
with.
Right. But I think that the word drop, or, you know, I forget what how many feet up you drop from, but that's one that I've heard in Disney commercials for years, and it's one, you know, obviously a lot older than Tower of Terror, so that's why I went with Splash Mountain. It just, that drop, I remember hearing, oh, and at the end you drop, and you drop, so definitely mm-hmm. Splash Mountain for me. On that one.
Yeah, Brenda's was Haunted Mansion. Mine was Splash Mountain, too. That's what I thought of when I said that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
My next one.
Yeah, next one. You can go anywhere with this one, and it may throw you for a loop. But what do you think of when I say money?
Oh, I have, and it's going to be weird because my next one with you, so we'll tie these in together.
Okay.
My last D was going to be Disney dollars.
All right, that's okay.
So that's the first thing I would think of is Disney dollars.
Okay. Yeah, see, when I... go ahead.
No, what were you
going
to say?
No, I was just going to say when I came up with this one, I mean, I was kind of thinking along the lines of money, something's expensive, like Grand Floridian or maybe Victorian or Albert's or something that costs a lot of money to
well,
with
next
Disney,
time, put it as pricey.
Yeah, that would probably would have worked better. But, yeah, Disney dollars is a blast from the past, although you can still get them down there.
I wish this is one thing. What I was going to get into when I said this for myself is what I thought of when because I was keeping with the D's here.
Yeah.
Is I wish I would have collected a dollar and a five, one of each, every year since I went down there because of all the because they change the artwork on them all the time.
Oh yeah.
And I think it would have been a really good keepsake to have, and it's always worth what it is.
Yeah.
If not more, if people want to collect them. It would be the one thing that you knew you could collect that you could always get your money back for.
Right. Yeah, we actually did do that for a few years, and we kind of got away from it. But we do have in several of our scrapbooks a $1 and a $5 Disney dollar. And you're right. They are very collectible. And I know when I worked at the Disney store, we used to sell them. But now they don't sell them at the Disney stores and everything's with the gift cards. But you are right, Doug. I mean, if you even go on eBay or something like that, they're, you know, you can buy them, obviously. But there's been, I'm going to say, hundreds of different versions of, mm-hmm. well, maybe not hundreds, but there's quite a few different versions of the ones, fives, and tens that have come out over the years. And I know, like, the year 2000, they had special ones, the Millennium. They had special ones, like sometimes when the parks have an anniversary or something.
Or even rides have anniversaries.
Yeah,
I've seen ones with Splash Mountain on it, different things like that.
They're awesome. And if you look at them, they have that special seal on them. You know, they're pretty nice looking, too. So they're a great collectible. And like you said, Doug, if for some reason you ever get sick of collecting them, you can always just...
go down and spend them.
Exactly. At least you can get rid of them at face value, I guess. Not like... you know, baseball cards are something that can fluctuate up and down with the market.
Exactly. They're always going to be at least worth what you paid for them. That's a good thing about collecting them.
Exactly.
Same thing with your Vinyl Nation. There's a lot of them that are worth more.
Yep.
Other ones ain't worth what you paid for
exactly.
them.
Exactly. It's, you know, that's what collectibles are. I mean, they're only worth what somebody is willing to give you for them is what I always say. And that's pretty much, it's true. I mean, you can value something at $1,000, but if nobody will give you $1,000 for it, it's not worth $1,000, right?
Nope. You're 100% right. Well, give me your last one so we can wrap this show
up. Yes, yes. The last one for you is, what do you think of when I say the word scary?
Scary?
Yep.
Now you got me thinking of the price of tickets going up.
That is scary.
How much they're going to be after all these renovations are done on all the parks.
Well, usually they go up in August, right? That's one of the months of the year the ticket prices go up. So we'll be seeing a scary price increase coming up fairly soon.
But that's the thing I think about.
Yeah, that's fine.
So...
yeah, I was thinking of either Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party or maybe
the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, or maybe one of the one of the Haunted Mansion or even the Tower of Terror or something if you're scared of the drop. But yeah, scary fits in a bunch of attractions that don't necessarily scare me, but could be deemed scary, if you will.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to be it for us this week, guys. Please, guys, go over to iTunes and review us. We'd really appreciate it. We've been getting a few more. You guys slacked off in the last week, so please pick it up. We really need your reviews. And please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you, guys, for listening to us every week. You don't know how much it means to us. You got anything else you want to say, Dan?
No, you covered it. Thank you for, you know, listening and giving us reviews, and keep them coming.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Talk to you soon.
Later.
Bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.